We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Jake's here off of Marsh Lane and Walnut Hill. Come on, swing by. Somebody's winning these Rangers tickets today. It might as well be you, and you might as well go ahead and get a burger and some brews while you're at it as well.
Might as well.
Four lucky winners get a limited edition baseball jersey that says Jake's on the front. It's green. It looks amazing. And you got some pint glasses that you can also get for the 40th anniversary of Jake's while you're here. Say hi to Fred. Say hi to myself. And let's have a good day. It is Friday.
So hey, everybody.
Might as well have a take a load off Friday. We do turn our attention now to our friend Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She is the knower of numbers, and she has been to pretty much all the camps. Cynthia, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I love camp time because, number one, everyone thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, which is great. And, you know, number two, I like the heat. I don't get, you know, in Southern California, we don't get, like, the crazy heat, like, some of the other places, so I haven't had humidity in a while, so I like it. It was fun.
What is what's the best camp to go to? Because we get to go out to the Cowboys experience, you know, once a year. We get to go see that out in Oxnard.
Yes.
What's the best environment that you've experienced so far?
Oh, well, I was in Detroit on the day when they had puppies, so it's really hard to, you know, like rescue dogs, like really make things like pretty incredible. But
yes,
I mean the Raiders was cool too because we were inside, but I don't know, like I because and when you go to Raiders for work, you know, you just get good meals on the road in Vegas, so I think they're all pretty awesome. But I think if I had to pick one of like all of the ones I've ever been to, riding the bikes in Green Bay is pretty cool.
Okay. All right. See, and that's the thing, Fred, like when we go to spring training, mm-hmm. I tell people, make that a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Like spring training's awesome. You can see like 10 games in one day, it feels like sometimes. So I'm always trying to figure out if the bucket list for NFL camps. So I appreciate that, Cynthia.
Of course.
You did have the breaking news earlier in the week that it's unlikely that Micah Parsons plays for the Cowboys. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you heard and what you're feeling from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like everyone else, it's hard to imagine that actually happening because this is the timeline that the Cowboys go along basically every single season, at least since 2015 with Dez, right? So ultimately, you know, this is something that happens. Last year, Dak didn't sign until, you know, literally the day of the first game. So we're used to this cadence. However, I think that, you know, it's different. A pass rusher's market this late in the game is, and especially one that's as talented as Micah, is just so much easier to plug and play than a quarterback, right? Dak's probably not switching teams later in the game because it'd be really hard to do a reinstall, et cetera, et cetera. So your leverage is a little bit different. And the fact that no one has really talked to Athletes First and Dave Mulligata, that's interesting as well. So while my source said that they think it's unlikely, I'm like, are you sure? Because I feel like this is always what the Cowboys do. And as far as control goes and the contract goes, the Cowboys do have control of the situation more than if there was some sort of free agency involved. But, you know, that I feel as though they're at least, you know, fielding offers or, you know, their calls are coming. Now, if they're listening to those calls, that's a different question. But calls are coming in more kind of with more reality behind them than other times. Again, I don't imagine it, but my source said that it's more likely that he doesn't than in years past with other types of clients and other types of players.
Cynthia, appreciate having you on. We had a barbershop in McKinney that said they wanted to let you know that you got all their love. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are big Cynthia fans. So there you go.
Aww.
So the DFW is in full effect.
Let's go.
100%. So again, and you've been doing this a long time. So, you know, and you're echoing a lot of what people here in Dallas think. It's like, yeah, he can send that trade request out, but more than likely it's going to get done in the sloppy fashion that it gets done in Cowboys world. What made your source think that this was going to be different?
I think the fact that the market is, like, because of the difference from the player, like, positional standpoint, like, you know, there are 31 other teams that could find a use for him in, like, 2 seconds without having to do much to reconfigure their other players. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. And the value that Micah has, considering the number of snaps he plays, isn't as high as some of the other of his contemporaries, would command something that would at least be interesting in the trade market perspective. Whereas you're going to, you know, a lot of times a player's demand closer to the season starting goes down because of what we talked about before, installs, trying to figure out how they fit within a system, organizational structure, trying to figure out a 53-man roster, how much money do we keep in the cap for injury considerations, et cetera, it becomes harder. Well, now you have this plug-and-play piece that literally any day of the season, you know, week 17, Micah could go on a team and be impactful from day one.
Cynthia, we also got a number of people texting in saying that you've helped them win fantasy games in the past and fantasy seasons. So you keep that up and let them know. Let them know right now where they can get the best fantasy advice from you or the best advice for those things.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got Fantasy Live coming back on NFL Network. And, you know, I'm on Twitter at C Freeland and Instagram at Cynthia Freeland. So either one, we'll have a lot of good stuff. And Numbers Games coming back, my YouTube show. So we'll have a lot of good notes there. And some of this camps, like, I feel like sleeper picks are kind of my, like, favorite ones to do because, you know, we can fight all day. Do you want Saquon? Do you want Bijan? Okay, whatever. Comes down to your draft position. But if you can get, like, the Trey Tuckers of the world, we're talking about it. Like, those guys later round picks that you could potentially slide in, and they give you that upside, especially later in the season when you really need it, when injuries start to strike.
All right, I know, and people might get upset about this. I love fantasy football. As a matter of fact, the Jakes that we're out today, they are going to be hosting my fantasy football draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited about that. But the when it comes to Dak and George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, not just the fantasy numbers, but the expectation, the expected numbers for what those guys are going to do this season, Dak's kind of been in this weird place where you're like, is he elite? Is he just regular 13, you know, in middle of pack, trying to figure out. But adding George Pickens definitely adds some pop to what this team is, right?
Well, I'm going to ask you again. This one actually comes back to our initial discussion of Micah. Because if Micah's playing, then the defense will not be as leaky, right? If Micah's not playing, then I think the numbers, I'm talking about fantasy, well, real life too, but, you know, think about it like that, right? Like, how much more will they need should they not have as strong of a defense? So
right.
I think a lot of those numbers come down to the complementary aspect of how good the defense will be. Like, for example, you know, you want to target a ton of those Cincinnati Bengals because I'm very confused about their defense, and that even includes if Trey Hendrickson plays. So, you know, that's the type of thing where for fantasy, you know, you just got to kind of remember, we all like wins. When you're a Cowboys fan, your most important number is wins. When you're a fantasy fan or you're trying to pick your fantasy team, you want to make sure you're getting the most points possible. So look for those teams that have, you know, offenses that are forced to overcome some deficiencies on the defense.
Cynthia Freeland joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. You mentioned earlier that you go to a lot of different camps, so you get the vibes and what have you. God bless you for liking humidity. Just don't stay in it too long after 12 years in Houston.
I can speak to that.
Well, that, exactly, right? You're just kind of cherry-picking on the humidity. God bless you for that.
That's right.
So you, and one thing you mentioned that stuck out, and because, again, this is, everybody, it's rainbows and unicorns right now for everybody.
That's right.
But my question for you, and you don't have to name names, quarterbacks notwithstanding, what's the difference that you notice or sense with the teams that say they have Super Bowl aspirations and they're just saying it versus the teams that legitimately do?
I think it's an easiness, meaning when they're in practice, they balance like a hard practice, but it's an easy, they have an easy way about them. Like, it sounds weird to be like the vibes, right? But the vibes are in check. Like, you see a lot of players telling each other, like, hey, you know, when you're running this route, blah, 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 blah. And they're helping each other out because they're super focused. But they're also laughing and having fun and not messing around, but, like, keeping it light because this is a game after all. And the more that they love it, the better they'll do. For example, you know, I actually spend some extended time with the Broncos. And Evan Ingram, the way he's folded into this offense and the way he's also able, as a veteran coming onto this team, to, you know, obviously Bo is a second-season quarterback, and there are some things when you're adjusting to each other and forming a new chemistry, they have great communication, and you can see it, you can hear it, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's not like tense. It's like, oh, okay, cool. All right, let's do this. Okay, great. Like, let's help each other out a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Bo Nix, because we constantly have that conversation with, I think Sean Payton's a fantastic offensive mind. The skill set of Bo Nix, that marriage that they've had, was really fun last year. It was an absolute blast to watch, and I kind of got ahead of it because of preseason. They ran their preseason like he was going to run it in the season, so I was like, this guy actually might have something this year. What is the belief with Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Because there were a lot of question marks about what he was. He's legit. He feels legit to me.
Yeah, I mean, making the playoffs is a pretty good legit meter. But here's what I'm going to say. This team feels to me as they'll go the way their run game goes, because that was the kind of missing piece of the puzzle. Bringing in Evan Engram, I mean, okay, let's just put this aside. For fantasy purposes, yes, Evan Engram is going to totally be someone you want to target. All right, that's aside, because we know Sean Payton loves him, a tight end who can catch passes. Done. Mm. Now, with the run game, I think, you know, when you draft a running back, you know, not Jadae Barron, that was their first round pick, the corner, but, you know, you draft a running back and then you say, you get rid of Javonte Williams, but, you know, you say, this is the focus of the team. Well, then you look back at, like, what was last year. Well, Javonte Williams, I think his total yards, and he led the team, were the second fewest for any team leader, just behind Las Vegas. So the point is the run game was not a source of strength. And if there's one thing you know about Sean, and there's one thing we all know about Sean, he wants to have the Alvin Kamara chess piece run game, but like a short pass that imitates a run and effectively acts as a run. Doesn't really matter, right? But he wants to have that. So getting rid of Javonte Williams signaled that they didn't have the right pieces in place. So I think the run game will be a huge emphasis in this preseason, but also I think that will dictate a lot of where their aspirations are for this team, because, you know, they're in a second season. Bo will have it'll be a little trickier because teams are now be defending him specifically, at least to begin with. And this defense is already awesome, but, you know, every single season you got to see, okay, does Jadae Barron fold in nicely? Are they going to play with Riley Moss? You know, are they playing with, you know, five defensive backs every night? Like, what's going on? So, you know, this team will go how the run game goes.
You said getting rid of Javonte Williams. We got Javonte Williams here in Dallas. Are we okay? I mean, like you said, getting rid of, like, he's just kind of throw it out there.
Well, I say it like that because you know, Bo wouldn't have worked for every coach, and okay. Javonte doesn't work for Sean, right?
Okay.
Because the point is fit matters a ton.
So
right?
Much.
Javonte is by the way, if you need to ask Javonte, when we did coverage of him at the Combine, I believe his nickname was Pookie.
Okay.
So you should ask him about that. I believe that was his nickname. anyways, I love it. But I think the point is what the strategy of how you want to run your – you know, listen, the Cowboys, the run game, the run aspect of the Cowboys is completely different. When you close your eyes and you think of Cowboys run, you get a much – different look than when you think about Sean Payton's running backs.
Agreed.
Over the course of the year. So the fit with Javonte Williams wasn't right. I actually think the fit is very nice with the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to asterisk there because nobody loved Tyler Booker being signed more than me, but you still, I mean, maybe all of Dallas, but other than that, you know, you still don't replace,
Zach
how
Martin.
Many years, five more years until we'll see him in Canton. Like, this is a guy who's not just a Hall of Famer, but like a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't easily replace him, even if you get a guy who looks really good.
Cynthia, you mentioned the Cowboys run game. We got a nugget yesterday that our guy Babe Loffenberg dropped on us, that this was the first time ever where Shoddy is going to be able to call plays. I mean, he's called plays, but he's always called plays for defensive-minded head coaches, right? So we don't know, let's call it what it is. We've never kind of thought of Shoddy as, quote-unquote, an innovative offensive mind. Now, could that be because of the coaches he's coached under? We don't know. What are you expecting with the Shoddy / Clayton Adams, you know, offensive mindset going into 2025?
I like it. I think it maybe wasn't like, look, you're the Cowboys, so every hire is going to be meticulously scrutinized in various ways with various levels of rigor, right? Like, meaning like how worked up someone on TV may want to get. But if you're looking at the track record and you're looking at consistency and you're looking at someone who knows football and fundamentals and the things that matter as you're trying to sort out, you know, a team that's had you know, I think Dallas every year thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, so it's a disappointment. You know, I never once this time of year I'm like, you know, Dallas is just going to be happy if they win eight games. Like, never.
Nope.
Right.
We aren't.
So the expectations are sky high always, and now you have someone who's like a football. Like, obviously, you know, they've all been football guys, but, you know, like, this is a fundamentals. He's not loud. He's not boisterous. Like, he seems like a solid. I mean, I don't want to call him boring because I don't think he's boring, but for Dallas and like all of the fanfare around Dallas, I think having someone who's a little bit, I'm going to use the word calmer, is a great thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, no, I do.
And I don't know the right word for it. Like, he seems like an adult. You know, like, he's just like an adult.
Yeah. And that's got to be a good presence. Hopefully it is. Cynthia, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to talking to you again during the season. Go follow her right now on Twitter and all the social medias, at C. Freeland on Twitter, where she is kissing math, literally, on her picture there. So get after it. And Cynthia, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Enjoy Absolutely. The last bits of summer.
Almost there. Almost there to the nice cool weather in Texas, which will be like, you know, 95 is kind of what we're looking forward to there.